Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Jensen. And today I'm joined by a returning guest and a man I am very excited to have back on the podcast. It is Usaid Koshal. How you doing, man?
Good, man. You know, every time you text me and be like, hey, can you do a show? I get even more excited for like the next show and the next show. And as soon as one show's over, I'm like, all right, what idea can I pitch to Eric so I can get on the show again?
Oh, man. Well, that is one of the biggest compliments I have basically ever gotten in my entire life. So thank you very much, man. I mean, I'm an amateur podcaster, but if this brings you some joy coming on the show, I definitely love to have you. You're one of the smartest football minds out there, I think, as far as people I have on the show. Sorry, Pierce. I know you're listening, but shout out to you. I like your fandom sometimes, but Usaid's by far the smartest guy we have on the show, so I enjoy that quite a bit. Yeah, but what's new with you, man?
Nothing, just busy, wrapped up in the school year, obviously. It does take a toll on me sometimes, because Friday nights I'll try to get all my homework done to be completely free on Sundays for all the games, so, you know, and then, yeah, October's obviously here, got the NBA starting up, hockey's back, October baseball, obviously the best thing ever.
But I'm going to say bah humbug to that because everyone knows October's football time. Like, let's not lie about it. Playoff baseball is a little overrated until you get to the World Series. And, I mean, October hockey, as much as I love hockey, probably my second favorite sport next to football, October hockey is not usually great quality hockey. And, you know, basketball doesn't get their crap figured out until February. So, I mean, it's football season, as far as I'm concerned. Like, because this is the month we figure out which teams are for real and which teams are fake. So, this is an exciting time of year and I'm a little bit biased because I have a football podcast, but I don't know. Interesting question. If you were to do a podcast that were not about football, Usaid, what would it be?
Probably the NBA. You know, I think I grew up obviously watching a lot of basketball, played it for some time as well. You know, and there was a time where I thought, like, hey, if I'm going to do this, you know, get into sports writing and whatnot, why not do, you know, something related to basketball? When I started this stuff about 2 years ago, I actually tried to take on both basketball and football at the same time, but just got so much more into football, and it's been that way ever since.
I think mine's a much lamer answer. I'd do like a hip hop podcast. I think that'd be dope to do. I think having different people on to talk about kind of rap albums would be interesting. So, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting consideration. I know SoundCloud does their podcasting thing, and I have a SoundCloud account, and you can upload like 4 a month. So, maybe keep your eyes out for that. Maybe in the future there will be a hip hop podcast with resident white guy Eric Jensen. So, anyways, yeah, we have a lot to get to though. We can ramble on about how bad my hip hop podcast will be all day, but we got to get into some football right now. And let me ask you, man, we got some power rankings. You ready to roll?
Yeah, obviously been ready since you texted me on Sunday saying, can you make an appearance on Wednesday night?
Awesome. All right, so we are going to go. Here's how this is going to work. We both have sets of power rankings. Usaid's private, mine public. Go check them out, prosportsfandom.com. I'll tweet out the link from the End Zone Pod account with the podcast, just because maybe you want to read while you listen, which would be really cool. And even if you just clicked on it to give me a click and then exited out, I mean, that's always appreciated. Numbers mean nothing to me, but, you know, it's nice to look and sometimes see on WordPress that more than, like, 2 people read your stuff, so that's nice. So we're going to go kind of from the bottom to the top, talking about where we have each of these teams. I think that we should start at, I'm already noticing something on your list. You have the Buffalo Bills twice. So I'll, So rethink your bottom seven, Usaid, and I'll read mine first. Does that work?
Yeah, okay. Sorry for having the book. Yeah, I have no idea who is supposed to be in that list.
Okay, I will start with my bottom seven and you think on the fly. All right. For me, the 32nd worst team in the NFL right now is the Buffalo Bills. At 31, I have the New York Jets. At 30, the Oakland Raiders. At 29, the Dallas Cowboys. At 28, the New York Giants. At 27, the Arizona Cardinals. And at 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In that list, obviously, there might be a few surprises. And we don't have to read yours for the bottom seven, Usaid. I'll just let you ask me questions about why I have these teams where I have them.
Yeah, you know, obviously, so you've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 26, I see, with looks like a grade of 9.5. So, look, I know they started off this season pretty hot with all the points they scored. I think they're averaging like 33 points a game or something, but and I know they got annihilated on Sunday against my guys in Chicago, but why do you have them ranked at 26 despite that really hot start they had? I get that one game against Mitch Trubisky and the Bears was one game. They lost by 38, but, you know, what's your justification for having them ranked that?
Well, it actually wasn't just one game. I mean, you look at the way they've played throughout the year, this is not necessarily how hot your team is, but like how well they played in general. In every game they've played, they've had 30 plus points scored on them. They don't have a defense. That's a problem. I should go grab my notebook here while you're talking next, which is just on my bed behind me. But I believe I gave their defense a score of like 1.5. Like, their defense is non-existent. The defensive line, which was supposed to be a strength for them, has been unable to get pressure to the quarterback. They're one of the worst run-stopping teams in the league. And I get it. Like, Fitzpatrick is cool, but if you look at his stats, he had two good games and then two really bad games where one of them he ended up throwing for 400 yards. Yes, but he threw three killer picks in the first half. That's why I have this team down so low, and because of the fact they're going to Jameis Winston, who I think is a worse option than Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I already thought after week three was a bad option. So that's kind of why I have Tampa where I have them.
Yeah, you know, that I think my opinion obviously real understandable. I mean, I was watching that Monday night game, you know, and I'm looking at the score, and I know the Steelers went in that game with tons of controversy with Antonio Brown saying he's frustrated, this, that. I get the Steelers turnaround. But the fact that the Buccaneers allowed, the fact that this team went toe-to-toe with the Saints and beat them by 8 points, but then just 2 weeks later, let the Steelers drop like 31 on them in the first, or I think like 24 on them in the first half. I think you're right. Goes to show that there's no defense on this team. I get some people want to say, oh, well, Gerald McCoy, Vita Vey, they were injured. But they still got other solid options there, like Bo Allen, like, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul, like Vinny Curry, pass rushing. And they run a 3-4, and they claim to have two of the best, you know, two of the top linebackers in the game, and Quan Alexander, and I forgot the second guy's name, but, you know, they claim to have a pretty solid front seven. And these last two games, it's been completely non-existent for them. I mean, they only sacked Mitch Trubisky once on Sunday in Chicago.
Yeah, I think that Jason Pierre-Paul has played well. He's put up decent numbers. He has two sacks this year, but like that one player isn't going to fix the rest of the defense. And I get that you make the point against New Orleans, but I think that game was really, I think you can throw that game out because it's week one, weird things happen in week one, and the Saints look like they should look at this point, I would argue. So I don't know. I don't know. outside of Tampa Bay, though, do you have any other major gripes about this bottom tier?
Not really. I mean, this bottom tier, it looks pretty good to me. You know, if you look at the rest of your team, you know, the Bills, they need to get things figured out with Josh Allen. The Jets, they compete in games, but they don't, like, really compete. They don't hang till the end. Oakland, since they ever since John Gruden arrived in Oakland, Oakland's been a complete mess. The Cowboys, the Jones family, they're all about money. They don't know how to use Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott to their strengths. Zip. The Jones family did, then they would surround them with even more talent. And it's all about, in Dallas, it's all about Zeke getting the ball, you know. The Giants, I guess Saquon Barkley's been averaging about 5 yards a carry behind an atrocious offensive line. But, you know, you don't know what to expect from them on any given play. And then Arizona, you know, that's just a team that, see, the Cardinals are confusing because on one hand, it looks like they're going through a rebuild. Because they've got that rookie quarterback and Josh Rosen there. But on the other hand, they're, like, trying to retool and stay competitive and hoping that Rosen, like, pans out, you know, and which Rosen will pan out. But they're hoping Rosen pans out immediately so they don't have to, like, punch themselves into a full-scale rebuild.
I think the one interesting thing that you brought up with the Cardinals that I agree with is they're trying to rebuild, obviously. But they're trying to stay competitive while they rebuild, which honestly I think they are. Like, this team, yes, they are the only team without a win this year, but I don't have them as the worst team in the league because there are encouraging things to take away. The defense has played really well at times. When they bought Josh Allen in last week, David Johnson returned to David Johnson. And I don't know. I think this team, if they had started Josh Rosen, could easily be 1-3 or 2-2 right now. And I think they're going to have 2 to 3 more wins over the next 8 games. And they're going to be having a top 3 pick, but they aren't a non-competitive team. They've been blown out by the best team in the league. And one of the better teams in the league. I have the Redskins pretty high, by the way. But they stayed competitive with the Seahawks, and they're about a missed field goal away from being 1-3 and having people be, I think, a little bit optimistic about them. So that's kind of why I have them where I have them. Of this group that I have, which coach is on the hottest seat, do you think?
Okay, which coach is on the hot seat from this bottom tier? For me, it's honestly, I think there's two guys, okay? The guy with the hottest seat is in Dallas, Jason Garrett. I know I've been calling for this guy to be fired since basically the summer started. He's been there 8 seasons, and he's got 2 playoff appearances in 8 years. He has not taken this team past the wild card or divisional round. You know, and Jason Garrett's just not the answer in Dallas anymore. Unfortunately, I have to say that. Yeah, he's a little younger. Maybe he can get creative offensively, but he can't manage an entire team. And he, you know,
while I agree with
mess.
You,
and if the Cowboys miss the playoffs this year, I think Jason Garrett's the first guy that should be fired as soon as the season's over. And the second guy is Dirk Koetter. Who I believe, after his comments he...
Cutter.
Yeah, Dirk Cutter, sorry. After his comments that he made on Sunday after that blowout against the Bears saying everyone needs to be fired, including himself, I think that this Tampa team, they're just beginning to slowly unravel. And by week 8, we're going to be talking about them as like, hey, that's not even a playoff team. They're headed towards a top 10 pick. And I think that in some cases, if they are a top 10 pick, you might see them taking a quarterback in the draft. Because after 4 seasons... It's clear Jameis Winston is not the answer in Tampa Bay.
The one argument I'll make with Jason Garrett is this. We as people who, I mean, I don't take myself too seriously because I think it's poisonous. But we as people as, quote, analysts can point to Jason Garrett being this terrible coach and like he doesn't have control of his locker room, he can't run a decent offense, and we're right. But at the same time, it is even more correct that Jerry Jones is not going to fire this guy. Like, he has never hinted at firing this guy because Jason Garrett doesn't put up any resistance. He lets Jerry Jones do Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones, as much as he says he wants to win a Super Bowl, I think he's fine as long as the Cowboys are in the national conversation. And they are right now because they're a bad team. So, I don't know. I think while you're right, you're wrong, if that makes sense. Because I don't see any way, unless they somehow like end up being like a 4-win team, there is no way Jason Garrett gets fired.
Yeah, no, I think this coming Sunday night when they have to take on Deshaun Watson and the Texans, I think that's gonna really tell us who this Cowboys team is. Is this a team that just messes around every year with getting this, you know, trying to make the playoffs, or is this a team that just, can't even like take the next step, even though it really claims it wants to.
I mean, and also NBC, like, give me a break. Stop showing me so many Cowboys teams. This team hasn't been good in a while. So, I mean, I get it. They're a national team, but the amount of primetime games they have this year is insane. And I really don't need to see them in primetime. I just don't. I'd rather live with the Cowboys out of my zeitgeist. All right, let's move up to the next tier. Hopefully this one's a bit better sorted for you. You don't have any repeats in this one, right?
Yep, no repeats.
All righty. Let's start with 25 to 21. I'll read mine first. I have the San Francisco 49ers at 25, the Miami Dolphins at 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 23, and the Denver Broncos at 22, and the Los Angeles Chargers rounding out the group at 21.
All right, so I've got the Texans at 25, the Colts at 24, the Detroit Lions at 23. I know a team we just talked about. Dallas is surprisingly 22nd for me. And then the Seahawks at 21.
All right. Let me ask you about the Cowboys. Why do you have them so high?
I mean, I wouldn't. So here's the thing. I've got them ranked 22. You know, I don't consider that like really high. That's, to me, that's like the bottom. That's the bottom half of the league right there. You know, I feel like if they can figure things out with Zeke Elliott, you know, which they have obviously, then the offense can get back to what it was in 2016. And I feel like I'm seeing some flashes from the passing game, so I'm really banking on my thought of, you know what, maybe the Cowboys can make some noise midseason and try and mess around with getting a wild card spot and sneaking in to that fifth or sixth seed in the NFC.
I would patently disagree with that. I don't see any hope in the passing game. Like, they've had one good passing game against the New York Giants, and it was a little bit fluky, I think. And even that wasn't a great passing game. It was just better than the worst, which they were the first week of the season. And, I mean, I think we've set the bar a little bit too low for this Dallas team, especially in this new NFL where the passing game is everything. The offense is everything. I just don't buy it. I don't think the Cowboys can make the playoffs. If I had to choose a group of teams that I thought firmly today were 100% not making the playoffs, I think I'd throw the Dallas Cowboys in that group. Any questions for me about my group here?
No, not at all. Yeah, what's up with the... well, I mean, here's the thing. So I know we were on the, you know, me, you, and Pierce, we did a show earlier in August, and you really hyped the Chargers up. So what's up with the Chargers being at 21? Because the difference that we have with the Chargers is just so massive.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see where you have them, but here's what happened with the Chargers. so I disavowed the Chargers about two podcasts back because I realized that I do this every single year, that I just get sucked in by the immense of amount of talent they have on their roster, which they still do. They're still a very talented roster. Don't get me wrong. I still think they have the best offensive roster in the AFC. And I am, well, that's a lie. They have the second best offensive roster in the AFC. And I'm willing to say that. But for me, power rankings aren't about your roster or how you look on paper. It's how you've played. And the offense has played extremely well, but the defense has been a liability, and it was supposed to be a strength, and it's because Joey Bosa isn't playing, and if he's not playing till week 9, there's a real problem in San Diego. And then you look at what they did, you look no further than this Sunday when they almost lost to the C.J. Beathard-led 49ers. Now, I get that C.J. Beathard might be better than we think he is, but still, am I wrong in saying that we should doubt this team that can't even hold a backup quarterback to under 14 points? Like, it just, I don't know. The defense doesn't excite me. The special teams are still a liability. I don't think they're well coached. And outside of a really good offense, I don't know how great they are.
Yeah, you know, I think that there, it's not, you know, not very hard to argue with. You know, I think that, well, here's the thing. I feel like Melvin Ingram, obviously one of the better linebackers in the game, and they've, you know, I just think the deal with the Chargers this year is that they've been hit with some injuries. Like, they lost, I think it was Jason Verrett or Casey Hayward before the season even started, which forced guys like Desmond King into starting roles. But one guy I've been really impressed with on that defense is Derwin James. I mean, this guy...
Absolutely.
Listen, it's the summer of 2017, and I'm looking up the 2018 draft class. I had James as a top 10 pick, and all year long, I stayed with that. I have no idea how he fell to 17. And all the teams that passed on him that probably had a need at cornerback, because there were a lot of them, I think they're going to end up regretting that. Because James, he looks like Cam Chancellor 2.0 to me. If not, he can be even better. So I just think that he's more freakish. You know, he's just a more freakish athlete than Bam Bam Cam.
I've heard the comparison from friend of the show, Chris Wessling, that he looks like Troy Polamalu. And I'm inclined to agree. Like, I have never seen a safety be in the backfield more than Derwin James is. And I really like him. But at the same time, you can point to two good individual guys, but if your defense isn't stopping anyone, like, I don't care how good, how many superstars you have, like, show me something on the field. Like, I buy into the offense because they have a ton of superstars, and the offense is great. Melvin Gordon's having an awesome season. Phillip Rivers is having a great season. Williams, I forgot his first name. Williams, well, Mike Williams is stepping up, and he's a definite real deal first round pick. Keenan Allen's having another great season. Travis Benjamin's having another great season. Travis Williams having a great season. Antonio Gates is still somehow wide open in the end zone at the age of 40 or whatever. Like, this team is great on offense, but if you can't stop anyone and if you choke in the clutch, which they have this year, like, I just don't know how successful you're going to be. So they could climb up, but for right now, I have them at 22. Let's move on. Unless you have any more questions about this tier, which I'm fine sticking on it, but I want to give you a shot to ask another question.
Nope, I think we can go ahead and move on to the next tier.
Alrighty, cool. I'll let you go first on this one, and I'll ask you my question for you first.
All right, so we got the tier 20 to 16 now. So at 20, and I know some of you guys are gonna give me heat on Twitter for this, but I've got the Cleveland Browns. Okay, 19, I've got the Buccaneers. I feel, cause listen, before they got like absolutely annihilated in the first half of week 3, and absolutely annihilated the entire week. Week 4, I had the Bucks ranked at 13 or 14, so I moved them down 5 spots to 19. Then I've got the Denver Broncos at 18, the Atlanta Falcons at 17 and the Pittsburgh Steelers at 16, which two of these teams has slowly been, or three of these four teams have slowly been rising up my rankings each week.
All right. I have Detroit at 20, Houston at 19, Indy at 18, Cleveland at 17, and Carolina at 16. All right. My question for you about this tier is why the Denver Broncos where they are, I guess.
Well, look, it's the performance. Okay, so it's the week one performance I saw, and it was against a Seahawks team that's got no offensive line. But I saw signs from this Broncos team. And then, I'm not going to talk about weeks two and three just for sake of time. But look, fast forward to week four, and I know this game was only 2 days ago, and Eric, you as a Broncos fan, were watching it. But the Kansas City Chiefs, who were like,
Heartbreaking, by the way.
yeah, it's.
Heartbreaking that game.
Look, you had the Kansas City Chiefs in Denver. And everyone was talking about how, okay, all the talk was around the Patrick Mahomes show and how this is an offense that's been averaging like 40 points a game. In his first three games, Mahomes thrown for 13 touchdowns and no interceptions. The reason I have Denver that high at 18 and near the top half of the league is because they meant, look, I know they lost like 27 to 23, but they seriously managed to keep Mahomes in check for most of the game, and going into the fourth quarter with like 10 minutes to go, they had a 10-point lead. I don't think there's a single team, there's not a team that Kansas City's played all year that that's kept them in check. And I seriously think if Case Keenum doesn't be typical Case Keenum and mess things up a little bit, then Denver seriously has a chance to win that game.
My counterpoint would be football games are 4 quarters long, and the Denver defense looked widely like they have basically the entire year in the fourth quarter, and I'm glad the nation got to see it because there's this misconception that even though Von Miller's playing well, and I think you can have a great defensive player who's a defensive player on a year on a bad defense. Obviously, Khalil Mack did that with the Raiders that 1 year. As I try to propel Von Miller to defensive player of the year when he hasn't had a sack in like 2 weeks, which is abysmal. But that aside, the Broncos' defense is a liability now. It's no longer a strength. That you can't lean on it. You have to rely on your offense, and just Case Keenum makes a terrible throw at the end. They abandoned the run game, which was working. Like, this team just, they feel lost to me. And like, while I have them in the same general vicinity, I think I would put the Cleveland Browns above them because I think the Cleveland Browns have a better offense, and I think the Cleveland Browns have a better defense than the Denver Broncos do. The Broncos just haven't been as unlucky as the Cleveland Browns, which I want to shift to them really quick and make my case for why I have them where they are. The Cleveland Browns could easily be 0-4, but they could also easily be 4-0, or if you actually look really closely, they could be 0-0-4. This is the most exciting team to watch in football, and they get like the fact that the national perception has changed so quickly is amazing to me because I think 2 years ago, if you would have told anyone that the Browns were going to be in a shootout that was up to 42 points, no one would have believed you. But now somehow that some in some way that's some sort of a disappointment. Like, the Browns are fun to watch. The offense is great. The defense had one bad week. I think they're a lot better than the record shows, and that's why I have them where I have them.
Yeah, I think, okay, so we've got the Broncos, or I'm sorry, the Browns ranked in pretty similar tiers because I've got them in the same tier basically, just three spots apart
Yeah,
because
basically.
I've got them at 20, you've got them at 17.
Yeah.
And I think the thing with the Browns is this, I think for them this year, all they need to do is sort of, if they can compete and stay in games, and that's going to be a really encouraging sign for 2019 because the goal isn't, for this team, the goal should not be, because look, Hugh Jackson's not the guy. The goal for this team should not be to just win in 2018. It should be to, win in the long term and be competitive for like whatever the next 10 years or so. And they have the pieces to do so. So I think the Browns, even if they don't win a lot of games this year, they're still going to be really fun to watch.
No other real complaints by me in your tier, so let's move on to the next tier here. The 15 to 11 tier, which I'd say is the, as I struggle with water quickly, is I'd say this is where the teams that we kind of start thinking of these teams having an impact, I guess, on the long term, or I disagree with my own take there. I'm trying to overanalyze this. 15 through 11. 15, I have the New England Patriots, 14, the Falcons, 13, the Vikings, 12, the Seahawks, and 11, the Philadelphia Eagles. Who do you have?
All right, so I have 15, the Miami Dolphins, 14, the Washington Redskins, 13, I've got the Minnesota Seahawks, 12, the LA Chargers because of all the offensive firepower we have, and 11, the Green Bay Packers.
All right, I want to ask you first. Why do you have the Dolphins where they are? Because I haven't been convinced by this team. I think they played no one in the first 3 weeks, and then when they played a real team, they collapsed.
They I know they got shut out like 26 zip in New England or something. It might have been more than that, but I have them at 15, just right there at the line of the top half of the league. The reason being is because I didn't look when I looked at this roster. When you looked at this roster on paper, you could have made an argument that this was a team through the first 3 weeks of the season was going to win 0 games or was going to win no games at all. So I've been really impressed with the fact with what Adam Gase and co are doing, and I really think that they're doing this while they're going through a culture change, which in my opinion, it's never easy to go through a culture change in the NFL when you're trying to get your types of players in and ship other guys out. Like they shipped out Jarvis Landry to Dominican Sue, and try to win games at the same time. This I feel like this team, they got Kenyon Drake, DeVante Parker, Danny Amendola. Ryan Tannehill's numbers obviously better, than people. Ryan Tannehill's numbers show he's better than people think he is. If this team starts figuring it out on defense, I think, they're gonna mess around with, they're not gonna get to the playoffs this year, but they're gonna really mess around with it. I wouldn't be surprised to see it be like week 12 or 13, and they're in playoff contention.
Alrighty. Questions for me about this tier.
Yeah, so here, let me. Okay, so yeah, what's up with these Seattle Seahawks at number 12?
All right, I was frantically typing up stats to pull up and things because I knew I'd be questioned on this take. So, the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to use your same argument for the Dolphins. I'm going to use your logic here. The Seattle Seahawks were a team that people thought would win maybe 4 or 5 games. They are suddenly 2-2 and they could easily be 4-0. They have not been blown out this year. They almost beat the Broncos in Denver, which is an incredible feat on its own, behind in a game where I may add Von Miller terrorized Russell Wilson. He threw for 298 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, they almost beat the Bears if it isn't for a late fourth quarter pick six. And then they win their last 2 games. I think this is an exciting team. I don't think the defense gets enough credit. I get that Earl Thomas being injured hurts them. Even outside of Earl Thomas, this team's defense is really good still. I think the people who were freaking out about the Legion of Boom being gone should calm down a little bit because the defense is still really good. Statistically, they rank in the top five as far as defenses go in the NFL right now, which is really impressive, especially considering the first two offenses they played, they held under 30 points to two teams that are scoring a lot of points early in Denver and Chicago. But you look at the other part of this, why have him where they have him, is Russell Wilson, who has 888 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions through the first 4 games. He's playing an MVP-type season early on, and there are tons of MVP candidates just because passing numbers are so inflated right now. But I think this team could easily be 4-0, and I think they're a really good football team, and that's why I have them at 12. Could I have put them a little bit lower? Yes, I could see the argument for that, but I don't think I would have them much lower than 15.
I mean, you know, to me, look, if it's – I knew the Seahawks weren't going to be a playoff team this year just because the NFC top to bottom is so loaded. But, yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. I do, you know, definitely see the competitive factor. Obviously, being a Bears fan, watching them play in Week 2 against my own team, I felt like a lot of people were going into that game and just straight up saying, hey, you know what, Russell Wilson's going to be on his back the entire night because of the ferocious Bears front seven. That completely false statement. I get Wilson got sacked 5 times because Wilson was sacked a total 6 times that game. 5 of those 6 came in the first half. The second one, or the final one came in the second half, and it was just one sack by a strip sack by I think Danny Trevathan. So this team, they've shown that they can make adjustments on the fly, you know, as things go on. The offensive line, I think, is decent. You know, Russell Wilson's always going to put up those MVP caliber numbers. So I think that when we're looking at the – when the season's all said and done, I think the Seahawks, you know, they're like, you know, right there middle of the pack team. And if they get – if they figure just one or two things out, I think they can be back in playoff conversation in 2019.
All right. As I look at our tiers here, we both have the Minnesota Vikings at 13. Are the Vikings in trouble?
Yeah, they are. I mean, look, they basically paid Kirk Cousins, I think it was like $90 million or something, and he was bought in for the specific reason of what? One, beating Aaron Rodgers when Rodgers is actually healthy and winning the division, and number two, you know, getting to the Super Bowl, because this was a team that was 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year. And I think when you look at this team, I get they say, you know, they went into LA and the Rams just outplayed them in every aspect. You know, we talked about before the season beginning, the Vikings have so much continuity. They're the best defensive unit in the league. Hasn't been that way. Dalvin Cook hasn't performed up to expectations. You know, even though personally I was high on him, I was wrong about that. And then, you know, you just see like Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. I feel like their production, their numbers haven't taken a dip this year, but their production definitely has. You know, and I think it all goes back to just Kirk Cousins playing. I mean, Cousins obviously not 1,000% comfortable in that offense.
Okay, I'm sorry, and I mean no disrespect here. I think that's factually wrong. I would not blame Kirk Cousins or the offense in the slightest. I think the defense has been awful, but like you look at Kirk Cousins' numbers, like I just said, Russell Wilson had MVP numbers. Like I'm probably wrong just because of the huge numbers some guys have. Like through 4 weeks of the season, Cousins has 1,387 yards. He's on pace to break Peyton Manning's single season passing record. He has 10 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. Like, he has played one bad game, and his bad game was 296 yards against the Bills and 1 interception. Like, he has not played terribly this year. He is playing like a top 10 quarterback. I don't get that argument. Why do you think that he's playing so badly? Because everything, like, watching the games and looking at the stat lines, like I would say he's playing like a top 10 quarterback right now. Like I don't think he's the issue. I think it's the defense and the fact that the defense can't close out games, even to they got shredded up by the Buffalo Bills. Like the Rams are great, but this team is supposed to be built on its defense. That's why they won those games last year. Like, you can give all the credit to Case Keenum in the world, but when it comes down to it, the defense was the best in the league last year. And this year, I wouldn't even say it's top 10 thus far.
You know, I think I think, yeah, the Vikings defense obviously is taking a step back. But I just feel like, look, if Cousins was as good as he was being hyped up to be, especially the $90 million he got, I don't think they get blown out like 27-zip. Or what was it, like 20? Yeah, I think it was like 27-0 against the Bills.
It's one game.
Hey, I get it's one game, but you know what? Mike Zimmer himself said, if we don't win the Super Bowl, I should be fired. And I seriously think the way the NFC North is looking right now, this year represents the last best chance for the Vikings to get to the Super Bowl. Look, I'm not saying they're not going to do it in 2019 or 2020, because that core they have is locked up till like 2022. Majority of the main guys.
Yeah.
I'm saying if they really want a run at the Super Bowl this year, 2018's their biggest chance at it, because we're seeing a power shift in the North, and we'll get to some of those teams in just a second here.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you have a point, but at the same time, I really disagree on your Kirk Cousins take. So we'll move on, but it's good to know that we have some differences in opinion there. The one team that is in, we already passed them, so we're not going to go back to them. But looking at your top 15, because I think we could spend a little bit more time on this kind of range. I don't really have any huge complaints with that. So let's get to our next tier, and I'll you go first on this. I'll go first on this one, and then you lead with a question for this group.
All right, sounds
at
good.
At 10, I have the Tennessee Titans, 9, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 8, the Green Bay Packers, 7, the New Orleans Saints, and 6, the Washington Redskins.
So quick question. Why the, I know they beat the Green Bay Packers a few weeks back, but why the Redskins at number 6?
Here's why the Redskins are at number 6. Because they have one of the best defenses in the league right now. Adrian Peterson looks great, and so does Chris Thompson. They have arguably, I would argue, one of the more dynamic backfields in the NFL. Alex Smith is a perfect fit for this Jay Gruden offense because it's clock management and not turning the ball over. And the offensive line is healthy, and they're playing just really good football. They've played all of one bad game against the Colts, and I get it's only 3 games, but I love what Washington has done this year. Why would you argue against having them up that high, I guess, is my counter to you, so maybe I can defend that spot a little bit better. Because outside of Adrian Peterson looks like he's in his prime, and they have a tremendous running game, and Alex Smith is playing really well, plus a great defense, I don't have much more to say than that. Why do you have them so low, I guess?
I mean, so yeah, I've got just quick recap for our listeners. So I've got Washington at 14. Now, my biggest reason for that is this. And I know you've got them ranked at number 6. But it just feels like every year at the start of the season, we see the Redskins, they kind of start hot out of the gates. And then as the season goes on, they really cool off. And then things, they don't like completely collapse. But, you know, they just tend to go downhill. And so I think that if this Redskins team is for real, because they had a real nice win against the Packers, but that was against the hobbled Aaron Rodgers, by the way, and you had guys like Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne getting to him all day. Look, for me, the reason I disagree with the Redskins, you put in the Redskins at 6 is this, is because if they're legit, then I think that they, that they continue this hot run into this, you know, well into the season, into November and December. Because, you know, who knows what'll happen. But, you know, as of right now, this really looks like the team to beat in the NFC East.
I think hearing your argument, it's a philosophy philosophy difference. So the way I do power rankings is how teams are playing at this moment. I don't really project into the future. I just look at what they've shown me thus far. And what they've shown me thus far, the Washington Redskins, I think, are a top 10 team. I could see the argument for having them. I will say right now, looking at the teams I have below them, I'll put New Orleans at six just because New Orleans is a better team than Washington. But I'd still have Washington in the top 10 at seven just because I think they're that good. I wanted to look at let me offer you a question here. Why the Carolina Panthers so high? And what I want to know from you is, I get they play well, and they're one of the hard teams also with the Washington Redskins to judge because we've only gotten a three-game sample size. But Carolina, I don't think they're a bad team. I have them at 16. I have them just on the fringe of being a top 15 team. But like, I just don't know what their identity is. Like, what is the Carolina Panthers' identity? And like, why do you have them where you have them?
Well, you know, to me, it's clear. Look, it's a team that's got it's a defensive minded head coach. It's a team with a, you know, a defensive identity. You know, defense is led by Luke Kuechly, and they got guys like Thomas Davis. You know, they just signed Eric Green, which I think is a great addition, and then the front seven as well the front four of the defensive line, that's not bad. You know, and then I really think that I've been impressed with the flashes I've seen on offense from Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore so far. I feel like those two are going to become Cam Newton's two biggest playmakers, you know, after the bye week. And I feel like we're going to see a McCaffrey and Moore breakout game, like, this week, week five. They're playing the Giants, so I think we see that breakout game this week.
All right. I would say that, I mean, that's a good argument, and I'm not going to argue with where you have them. I just want to see a little bit more. I think the defense has been surprisingly good just because I was so concerned about the secondary, but the secondary is actually okay. I just want to see a little bit more from them, I guess. But outside of that, I like your 6 through 10. All right.
Yeah, no, I'm going to add one more thing on for the Panthers. I'm going to agree with what you just said.
Yeah.
The thing with the Panthers is they could go really far north really quick, be one of the NFL's hottest teams. Or, like you said, we need to see more out of them. They could go south real quick. Like, they're just an unpredictable team, you know, in the NFL. One of the more, in my opinion.
I mean, you're not wrong. I would say that now we move on, unless you have any more questions about 6 through 10 for me, to the top 5.
Nope, let's get into the top 5.
Alrighty. Top 5. Here we go. The top 5 teams in the NFL right now. I will go first. The Chicago Bears at 5, the Baltimore Ravens at 4, the Cincinnati Bengals at 3, the Kansas City Chiefs at 2, and at number 1, the Los Angeles Rams.
All right, so my top 5, I've got the Chicago Bears at 5, the New Orleans Saints at 4, the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 3, the Chiefs at number 2, and the Rams at number 1.
All right. I will let you ask me a question here first.
So, yeah, one of the real surprising things is, you know, why do you have two AFC North teams, Cincinnati and Baltimore, ranked so high?
Because I think they're arguably – they are the – okay, this isn't going to make a whole – okay, I'm just going to say it. I think Cincinnati and Baltimore are better teams than Kansas City for one reason alone, and that's because they're a complete team. Kansas City's got this killer offense. I get it. It's awesome, but their defense is non-existent, and it's the worst defense in the NFL, statistically and just from watching it. Any offense could go out there and put up 20 points, and Kansas City has to win in shootout-type games. Meanwhile, I think the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens, if I had to give you the top defenses in the NFL right now, it's the Chicago Bears, the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Los Angeles Rams, the Washington Redskins, and the Carolina Panthers. Those, I think, are the top six defense in no particular order in the NFL right now. And I think that the Bengals and Baltimore are two complete teams. Andy Dalton, I want to be clear because I've had this a lot, and I know people are going to come at me and be like, oh, yeah, Andy Dalton, he's not an elite franchise quarterback. Yeah, like, no, I get it. Like, he is not an elite franchise quarterback. But, like, once every 2 years, he plays like an elite franchise quarterback MVP, and he's having that stretch right now. And if he keeps it up, are the Bengals going to win a playoff game? No, I will never pick the Bengals to win a playoff game until I see them win a playoff game. But in the regular season, we've seen this before. The Cincinnati Bengals can be a top three team. And I think they are. And Joe Flacco is having what the Baltimore Ravens are doing on defense now, I think, is a little bit understated. John Brown is an all-pro. Willie Snead is making huge contributions. Michael Crabtree, who is supposed to be the number one, has kind of fallen into this number three wide receiver role, but he still makes plays. They have two quality backs in Jared Allen and Alex Collins. And the way they incorporate Lamar Jackson into their offense is fascinating, because even though every time he gets on the field, you know they're going to run, I just get the sneaking suspicion that as the year goes on, they're going to throw in a few passing plays for him and really get defenses off balance. I love the Baltimore Ravens offense. I think those two teams, that's why I have them as high as I do, just because I think they're the two most complete teams in the NFL right now. I get that the Los Angeles Rams are this tremendous offense with a good defense, but I think the Cincinnati and Baltimore defenses are better, and I think they are the two most balanced teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I know, I think it was 2015 where the Bengals were like 12-4 or something and one of the top seeds in the AFC, because I think, yeah, I know they had a playoff game at home that year. You know, I can see the argument for that, but just like you mentioned with the Panthers, I need to see more out of them. I'm not completely sold on a team that's run by Marvin Lewis. And then the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, so really for this team, I guess they struggled last year. You know, they were okay out of the gate, and they finished off at like 9-7 or something. You know, what I want to see out of this team is just more. I believe this team can win the AFC North. I think they are better than the Bengals because Joe Flacco's playing pretty decent right now, you know, trying to hold off Lamar Jackson. And then the defense led by Terrell Suggs has been really solid so far. So, you know, both these teams, I think really what is, we just have to see more out of them. And hopefully by week 9 or 10, we're talking about them as being legit playoff contenders.
Why the Jacksonville Jaguars at 3 for you?
It's okay, so I know Blake Bortles has been Blake Bortles this season, and Blake will continue to be Blake Bortles. I haven't been impressed at all with Jacksonville's offense this year in light of Leonard Fournette being out. But, you know, I still like the defense. You know, I like Talvin Smith. I like Jalen Ramsey. I feel like A.J. Bouye, great quarterback as well. They got Calais Campbell. The thing with the defense is this, is they have that perfect mix of really young guys, but also veterans. And I think that as this season goes on, you know, because again, my power rankings philosophy is how a team can do long-term and how they've done in the past. I think as this season goes on, you're going to see Jacksonville begin to creep up more and more against, you know, teams or in people's power rankings.
All right. I don't know if this is even a counter argument. I think that the Jacksonville offense is good. The Jacksonville offense is good. It's just so incredibly inconsistent. They will beat down on the New England Patriots, dominate the New England Patriots 1 week, and then lose to the Titans 6-9 the next, and then they'll dominate the Jets the next week. Like, this is always how this team has played under Blake Bortles. Great 1 week and then bad the next, and you never really know what Blake Bortles you get. But I think to say the offense is bad is a little bit of a blanket statement. I don't think the offense is bad. It just concerns me that they're so inconsistent. And even projecting ahead, like, you could make a case that this team should be like 15-1. But Blake Bortles is going to have these games where he doesn't show up and they're going to lose like 5-7 games. That's why I just can't see this team. Like, I think they're a playoff team, but I can't see them winning more than 10 games if we're talking projecting into the future.
Yeah, you know, that. You know, the Jags, they've, like I said, the offense. So you mentioned the offense being inconsistent. I just mentioned it, me not being, like, overall impressed with it. I think, obviously, the defense is a strength of this team. I think that if this ends up being a lost season, then the highlight of this 2018 season is going to be the fact that they beat the Patriots because they were talking so much about it. You know, but I still believe this is a team that's going to be in the playoffs this year, whether it's the one seed, the two, or if it's like a wild card team.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just, the Jaguars confuse me immensely. One team we didn't touch on in 6-10 that I'm really curious because we have them in very different places. Like, I have the New England Patriots at 15 just because I let me tell you why. I get that they blew out the Dolphins, but the Dolphins are a bad team. And I get that Tom Brady does not look good. Like, you can look at his stats and say they look fine, but physically throwing the ball, Tom Brady does not look good. He is not as accurate as in previous years. I think he's lost a little bit of arm strength and his mobility is going down. And they found a run game 1 week. And now I get that they're getting all Julian Edelman back, but I'm not sure I buy that he's going to be the Julian Edelman of old. Like, I just want to know why you have the Patriots so high. I can understand it because there's just this respect that we give the Patriots, but on paper and on the field, that I don't think they've shown enough to be the number 17.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but to me, it just feels like we're seeing the New England offense come back. You know, the one that's obviously consistent in scoring points, just consistent, you know, in the passing game, the run game, when it comes to protecting Tom Brady, that sort of stuff. I really feel like we're seeing that come back. And what's going to be interesting is this. So they're getting Julian Edelman back, whose 2017 season was cut short due to injury. If you look at it, Edelman has not played in basically 20 games because he missed all of 2017 and he missed the first 4 weeks of this season. But then they're also adding Josh Gordon, who, by the way, when Gordon's healthy, I seriously think he's one of the better wideouts in the game. He's a nice deep threat. So it's going to be really interesting to see the Patriots, because if they can use Edelman and Gordon properly, if they can incorporate, because remember, before Edelman was their deep threat, if they can use Edelman and Gordon, you know, then and this offense sort of gets back on track with their already, like, decent running backs, then I won't be surprised to see the, you know, the Patriots, you know, that's the reason I have the Patriots 7.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand it. I feel like people give way too much respect to the Patriots. I just don't think they've earned it yet this year. Like, I understand the point though.
That's honestly a fair point here, because, you know, and I could also argue against why about the Patriots 7. So high, because the thing with me is this, is obviously I know the Patriots are going to figure things out, but I just feel like every year they end up starting out so slowly, and they're 1-2, and then everyone across the football world is like, oh my god, you know, like, it's the dynasty is really coming to an end, and then they pick it up, you know, in October, yeah, November,
did that,
and then all of a sudden it's like December, they're the number one seed in the AFC.
Right. Yeah, we've seen this before, but I just want to see a little bit more, you know. And this, again, is a philosophical thing. You obviously project ahead. I stay more in the present. But final question to close out the power rankings. If there was a team you could look at your power rankings and wish you would have put them higher, who is that team?
So right now for me, that team exists in the top five. I'm going to say the Chicago Bears. Look, I know Mitch Trubisky struggled the first 3 weeks of the season. Week four, though, he picked it up. Defense obviously been playing lights out. But I feel like if Mitch Trubisky plays the way he did on Sunday, and I'm not saying he needs to throw for 6 touchdowns every game, which, by the way, Newsler, don't expect that at all. But if he just gets 2 or 3 touchdowns a game, and he's consistent, he's hitting his targets the way he was in week four, you know what? I think that's a team that you can move up in your power rankings and sort of take them from, like, whatever. Because I don't know, Elliot Harrison of NFL.com's got them ranked at number 8. I feel like they could be a team that's legitimately a top 3 in people's power rankings.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. For me, it's lower on the list. I obviously wouldn't have them in the top 5, but the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons, just because I think those are two teams whose offenses have been fantastic, but they've been doomed by bad defenses, in the Falcons' case because of injury, which is really sad to me because I love this Falcons team. And if they had a defense, I think we'd be talking about them as a better team than the Rams, because I firmly believe that the offense in Atlanta right now is in the same caliber as the Rams and ahead of the Chiefs. If I had to make an offensive power ranking, I'd put Atlanta 2 and Kansas City 3, just because I think what Atlanta's done has been more impressive. They've incorporated the running game. They've incorporated more different targets. I don't know. I just wish I could put those two teams higher. I wish both those teams had defenses, because they're insanely fun teams to watch. Like, the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons are a lot better than their records suggest, but both of them look like teams that aren't going to make the playoffs right now, purely based on record. But if you watch the games, they are much better than their records suggest.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm not going to agree with you so much on Detroit, because I feel like I get they've had a decent defense with guys like Darius Slay, Lover Quinn, but, you know, and I know I said...
Oh, they've had an awful defense. Yeah. But their offense is taken off.
Yeah, the offense... Apologies, folks. But anyway, listen. Offense has been good, right? We know when Matt Stafford's and Jim Bob Cooter's offense, he plays like a good quarterback, and he's entering his 3rd or 4th year into that system. You know, for me, the Lions, their defense is going to continue to be the defense. I mean, look, they had 2 guys last week in 2017, and I said this earlier in the summer on the show as well. They had Ziggy Ansah and Anthony Zettel, both that had, like, whatever, 18, and they combined for whatever, like, 18 and a half of the Lions' like 36 sacks. They let Zettel go this offseason, which I think was a terrible move, because I think they're banking on guys like Ashawn Robinson, Gerard Davis taking the next step. Which, if they do, that's great. If they don't, then we know they made the wrong move. You know, and now you look at the Falcons. Obviously, I get Deion Jones is out. Keanu Neal's been injured. You know, those two guys, I think, are the biggest pieces on that defense. The offense, though, I was not impressed week one against Philadelphia, but it seems like Steve Sarkisian's figured things out now. It feels like they're using the speed of Calvin Ridley to complement the play of Julio Jones, which has been an awesome combination, because over the summer I was writing a or combination because over the summer here's the deal I was writing a piece for Snacktime Fantasy called Bold Predictions, where I would go through each division, pick each team, and then give a bold prediction on them. The thing I predicted for the Falcons was that Calvin Ridley was going to be the key to the Falcons resurgence, and it looks like that's happening so far. I mean, Ridley's got like I think 5 or 6 touchdowns in the last 2 games.
Yeah, I wish the Falcons were better. I wish the Falcons' defense was better. I just wish it was.
Yeah, no, I really do as well, because I feel like that if we get to the first week of November, and the Panthers, obviously we said earlier on the show they're a complicated team to figure out. The Falcons are still banged up on defense. The NFC South, then we all know the Saints are gonna run away with it. I mean, it was just. Because going into the year, I had this as a potential division with 3 potential playoff teams: the Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers. And now, right, the way it looks right now, it's that only one of those three is going to make it. If the Saints run away with it, it's going to be the most boring division in the NFC.
I mean, I don't think that's true because the Falcons are still so fun to watch every week. Like, even though they lose in, like, really exciting fashion. So I think you're wrong on that, but I wish the defense hadn't gotten hurt because I think they were my Super Bowl pick. And at the quarterway point, I'm not willing to say they are, I'm not willing to change that pick yet just because I think there's still a chance they, with the tremendous offense they have, that they outscore teams and they sneak their way into the playoffs. And I think it's been shown that if you can outscore teams, and teams are built to, the NFL is no longer a defensive league. You build teams to win track meets, to use a football cliche, and you try to run up the score and see who gets more points. It's not who can stop the other team and prevent the points, it's who can get more. And I think if the Falcons were to get into the playoffs and be in a one-off playoff situation with a team like the Rams, I think the Falcons could outscore the Rams easily. I really do. I think it'd be an intense and awesome game to watch. But I'm not losing all hope yet. But I'm on the brink.
Yeah, I just. There's...
Anyways, with that, I think that is it for this episode. Anything else you'd like to add?
Obviously, no, not right now.
Usaid.
You know, I think that we can go ahead and wrap it up. I just, you know, I'm looking for. You know, I know buys start this week, so I'm looking forward.
Anything else you'd like to add, Usaid?
No, I mean.
We have lost Usaid. It's okay. Usaid, if you'll just pause your recording, we'll keep this all in. I'll just add it to the end of the podcast. But follow Usaid Koshal on Twitter at @ukoshalsports. @ukoshalsports. It's an awesome Twitter account to follow. He's got some really good takes. And we will see you on Friday for our Week 5 preview. Peace out, guys. Follow us on Twitter at @EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.